While this is loading up, I'll give you a brief background on this. There's been a renewed interest in cotton fiber quality in the last few years, or should I say an increasing interest. And part of that has had to do with the effect that lint cleaners have on cotton fiber. They clean it, which we need them to do, but they also tend to break fibers and cause a higher portion of short fiber and a higher percentage of neps or a higher number of neps in a sample. And so this is looking at what could conceivably be done to come up with new technologies to clean lint. So let me recognize my co-authors here. Rishu Sui is sitting in the back. Somehow he got listed as the presenter. We don't know how, but anyway, I think the plan was for me to do it. Rick Beiler at the Cotton Ginning Lab in Stoneville, and Ed Barnes with Cotton Incorporated. And I want to thank Cotton Incorporated for funding this work. Excuse me. Well, a little bit about the materials that we used on this work, and let me go back and just mention my title again since I skipped over that, Attachment Mechanisms Between Cotton Fibers and Foreign Matter Particles. Thank you. The way that we're looking at determining what attachment mechanisms are is through microscopy, and we procured a video microscope with magnification in the range that we were interested in looking at that would get down to the level of pretty fine particles so that we could see how those particles are intertwined in the fiber. So I think I got my slide out of order there, but we'll get all the information through here anyway. As I mentioned earlier, lint cleaners damage cotton fiber. The innovations that have occurred in lint cleaning since 1940 or so are generally variations on existing saw-type technology. I mean, we've got air jet lint cleaners. We've got some other things that have been tried, but the principal lint cleaning machine is a saw-type lint cleaner, and there have been all kinds of variations on that, and some of those improve cleaning, and some of them reduce damage to the fiber, but those improvements are typically incremental. And so there's been a desire for some fundamental work to be done with the hope that it might provide a breakthrough in efficient cleaning with minimal damage. And efficiency is one of the keys. I mean, you can go in and try to separate out the fiber by hand and shake all the little particles out, and you can do pretty well, but obviously that when you're trying to gin 60,000 bales in a gin or 100,000 bales in a gin, that would be impossible to do with any conceivable machine that you could do. So what kind of fundamental work can be done? Well, there were a couple of areas that we were interested in looking at, and one was in modeling what goes on currently in a lint cleaner. And if you've seen a couple of the presentations I've made in this area in the last year, that was one of the things we were looking at, but we also wanted to analyze sort of on parallel track, what are the requirements to remove foreign matter particles from lint? Because ultimately that should be able to tell us what some type of new technology might be that would be able to do that. All right, so if we want to find out what might be used to remove foreign matter particles from lint that's different, one of the key questions is, what's the force of attachment? And so we sort of set our sights on measuring the force of attachment and thinking about how do you grab hold of a fiber sample and also grab hold of a foreign matter particle and pull those apart in such a way that you can measure the force and do that repeatedly. And, once you start looking at it pretty carefully, you start realizing how many variables there are there, and it makes it virtually impossible to do in a meaningful way, because the particles are different shapes and sizes, and they're different rigidities, and they're mixed in with different numbers of fibers, and to figure out a way to grab the fiber and the particle and pull them apart and measure that and do it in a repeatable way again, we haven't come up with a good solution for that yet. So well, let's step back a minute and see if we can just look at the particles and how they're attached to the fiber. And that was one of the things that was Dr. Sui was looking at one day as we were thinking about the question of how do we pull these things apart and measure the force, and he started seeing that some of these particles actually had the fibers wrapped around them fairly tightly. You know, my assumption going in had been that there was some sort of, we'll call it electrochemical attraction, and these things were just sort of interspersed in there. And if you got down close enough to the particle and you shook it a little bit, it would shake free. With some of the particles, that's true, obviously, because if you pick up a sample and shake it a little bit, you get trash falling out from the sample. But not all the trash does that. So we got this video microscope. We purchased this in November, and that's an important point because you'll see that we've got some preliminary work, but we haven't done a completed study with this yet. The zoom on this, the magnification is 15 to 200. It's got an LCD screen that's right there in the front that makes it very nice. You don't have to bend over and look down a couple of eye holes. It's got built-in light with it, and it allows you to work at a pretty good distance for what, you know, for a cotton sample that can vary in how tall it stands off the stand at the bottom. You can also look straight down on a sample, or you can look at an oblique angle. We've not done that yet, but excuse me. Ultimately, we think we will want to do that because that will give us a better idea, not only from the top of the particle, but from the sides of the particle, how the fiber and the mass of fiber and the particle are interacting with one another. So to begin to study this, Rick Beiler produced a couple of rolls of lint for us that had been ginned but had not gone through the through any lint cleaning. And I asked him to use one hairy leaf sample and one smooth leaf sample so we could just, you know, see what kind of difference that made. And so these were ginned and collected on the battery condenser, and they collected a roll or a bat into a roll with brown paper. And we unrolled these bats and sampled three chunks out of each of those rolls. And then out of each sample, we took a couple of subsamples. And each of those subsamples has many particles in it. So for hairy leaf cotton, we had six subsamples, each with many particles, and six smooth leaf cotton subsamples, each with many particles. And we put those subsamples under the microscope, and we considered at least 10 and often 12 or so particles with the microscope. And this just gives you an idea of how small the samples were. They're pretty small, but many particles anyway. This is magnification, and I don't have I don't have the exact data on this as to what the magnification was on this. I think most of these were running in the 50 to 100 zoom range. This is something that, well, as we go along, that's going to be very critical because size is going to be one of the critical parameters that we're looking at. These were, I'm trying to remember, I think I've got four images here. And I think the first two, I was supposed to have numbers up here, and I think the first two are from hairy leaf and they should have shown up, but they're not showing up. And the second are from the smooth leaf. Yeah, this one's showing up. This is from the smooth leaf with an S there. And it's just interesting to look at what the differences are in the way some of these particles are interspersed in the fiber. Some of them will sit on top of the fiber, and some of them will be fairly tightly wrapped with the fiber. And this one kind of looks like it's sitting on top of the fiber, but you can see in the middle of it there, it's kind of blurry. And the reason it's kind of blurry is that our focus of the microscope is on the particle itself, and there are a few fibers between the particle and the microscope lens. And since they're out of focus, they blur the look of the particle. But that particle appears to be fairly loosely held. All right. Now, the fun part, which I don't think is going to work, was that this video microscope actually will make a video image. And we created video images of all of these particles that we've looked at, and there are on the order of 150 particles that we've looked at. And we would begin by focusing very carefully on the particle and then adjusting with the micro zoom away from the particle so that we would bring fibers between the particle and the microscope lens into view until everything was out of focus. And then we would adjust the fine-tuning the other way so that the particle came back into view, and then we would go beyond that and focus on the fibers behind the particle. And the idea behind that was we thought that that would give us an idea, a better idea of how tightly those particles are interwoven in with the fiber. And we're going to do that from 0 degrees, from directly above, and also at oblique angles. And I'm going to click, and I don't think it's going to show you that, so I think you're just going to have to imagine it. I apologize. Most of the time I'm not technologically challenged, but when it comes to getting video files into PowerPoints, I have been a failure up to this point. So I was going to show you the videos of those particles, but I think all you're going to get is just the still images, and I'm sorry for that. Ultimately, here's what we want, and we can do this visually, or we can do this with digital image analysis, and for the time being, we're going to do it visually. We'll create a table that'll be based on visual observation of all these microscopic images, and you'll have the particle number, and you'll see on the left, H is hairy leaf sample. One is the sample, B is the subsample, and particle number is the one. So H1B1, H1B2, S1A7, et cetera. And for each of those, we define a color, a generalized color, such as red, tan, brown, black, and then a shape, round, rectangular, short, rectangular, long, et cetera. Texture is pretty interesting, that you'll see some of these look shiny, some of them look rough. And so we will smooth and shiny, or smooth and dull, or rough. And then size, we've basically defined that as small, medium, large, but that's going to be worked on a little more, and we'll try to get some better parameters for that. And ultimately, what we're trying to do is to categorize these particles according to those four parameters, color, shape, texture, and size, and associate that with its attachment mode in the fiber. And that is basically according to three things. And one is, what is the proximity of the number of the fibers that are holding it in? Are they very close, by and large, or do they tend to be farther away from the fiber? That's one issue. Another issue is, what number of fibers tend to be present around the particle? It's pretty obvious in some of the samples that it's just completely covered with fiber, and in others that it's only got two or three fibers around it. And then finally, some of the fibers you can see actually curve around the edge of the particle, and that's one of the issues. Is the fiber conforming to this particle and tending to grab hold of it? So we want to, again, use these particle parameters and relate those to attachment type to try to get a better understanding of what the critical particle parameters are for the most tight attachment to the fiber, because ultimately that's what we need to find out. What are the most difficult particles based on size, shape, etc., to remove from the fiber and attack those first? I mean, like I said, there are lots of particles in the fiber sample. If you pick it up and shake it, they fall out, but a lot of them don't. And what are they? And just in terms of concluding remark, once particle characteristics are related to attachment type, again, as I mentioned, we can focus on the requirements for removing the most difficult particle type. And with that, I'll stop and answer questions that you might have.
Time for one question.
Well, the advantage we think at this point is that we can adjust the focus from the particle to the fibers that surround the particle, and that will give us an idea of the closeness, the proximity of the fibers to the particle. You know, the strength of attachment is going to depend on how many fibers are in very close proximity to the particle. And we can tell that by adjusting the focus and capturing that on video. Basically, we have a technician sitting in the lab who focuses on the particle and then adjusts the focus out and then adjusts it back the other way, and we're able to capture all that on video. So we don't have to, you know, we don't have to have a scientist sitting there looking and making this determination in the laboratory.
So you talked about
Well, most of these are going to be in the millimeter range. Some of them are smaller than that. I mean, your pin trash is in the micrometer range. But we really haven't, I mean, like I said, we've just begun this study, and we haven't put measurements on all these particles and defined what the small, medium, large categories are going to be. We may ultimately decide we need more categories than that, but we don't have that defined yet. Thank you.